proudly presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Thank you so much for all the listeners, the thousands of listeners. We appreciate the growth of the podcast. Those of you who tune in on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you are, and on JoeBucksFan.com, the podcast posts first every Tuesday and Thursday. We appreciate it. Want to save money on a Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS Coupe for just $349 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, they will match it or refund you $500. That's the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa Price Protection Promise. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. You can get all the details there, and you can also visit EdMorse.com/promise. For complete details on the price protection promise. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, just west of Causeway Boulevard, right there, it's clearance time. Save up to $13,000 on remaining 2017 Cadillacs, and for a limited time only, get 0% for 72 months on the powerful Cadillac Escalade. Plus, you get free car washes for life. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard, visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com for all the details. Great pre-owned selection, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We appreciate their support, and here's Ira. Happy Thursday, everyone. The Ira Kaufman Podcast, the free agency dinner bell, less than a week away.
Less than a week, Steven.
Less than a week, Sage. Steve Isbitt's here, JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is in the house. Ira wearing his NYPD sweatshirt, looking like Sipowicz over here.
A couple of people in New York asked me if I was a cop over there, Lee.
You'll give us another New York story later, Ira. But look, fans now, here's where we are in Buck fandom, Ira. This is tense times. Free agency's coming. This means major change to the organization. We're also going to find out if anybody wants the Bucks free agents. I'm not so sure. We'll see who the organization lets go. I know you're on pins and needles to see Charles Sims come back. And you want him back in the organization.
Hey, Lee didn't mention Sims in his last podcast. He's going to be upset.
We'll see if he comes back. But I have got a big question for you, Ira, because we didn't get to this before, and it's been happening for a couple of weeks now, and you've yet to weigh in with your sage takes on this modern development. So, Ira, we've seen Quan Alexander out there on social media sort of, hey, inviting this free agent to come in, and hey, Tyrann Mathieu, if you break free, we want you. Gerald McCoy, basically, you know, when the Bucks didn't trade for Robert Quinn, he's out there saying, oh, man, I can't believe he got away. Sticking in emojis like he's frustrated. And other Bucks have been on social media. What do you think happens at the front office? Does Dirk Cutter or Jason Light call these guys and say, could you tone it down on the social media? Do they care? Do they pay attention? Are they too weak to reach out to the players and say, shut up?
To quote the great Chucky John Gruden, it's elevator music, DeCamper. Elevator music. Money talks, and we know what walks. Lee, when I look at this free agent scenario, the more I think about it, I think Buck fans looking for home runs are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
They're going to be disappointed. But there's about four or five doubles out there that Jason Light needs to swing and hit the gaps. Don't hit it over the fence. Hit the gaps. You got a lot of money to spend. And you guys have been talking about one thing and one thing only. Upgrades. Upgrades. Upgrades count. You know, five upgrades equals two home runs. So do it. And by that, I mean get a corner that's better than the corner you got. Get a defensive tackle that's better. A defensive end that's better.
Get a defensive end that can get one sack, you mean?
A guard that's better. There's not going to be anybody as sexy as a DeSean Jackson. I don't see it. I just don't see it. It's a weak free agent crop. We're not talking about a guy that's going to be getting $14 million like Calais Campbell.
Allegedly, there's going to be some corners out there.
There'll be some corners, but that's not normally a sexy position.
No,
either.
But it's a need.
It's not as sexy as a pass rusher.
No, but it's a need.
It's a need. So Light's going to get busy. They're going to be very active. And I think Light's history suggests, Lee, that they target guys early in free agency rather than wait. They've done both.
They should.
But they usually target early. Last year, they targeted Jackson and Baker. Got them. One worked. Neither one really hit. Worked out.
Well,
one wasn't his fault.
Targeting Swaggy Baker, Bucks fans are just heaving over the side of the road listening to this.
Well, there might have been some other teams that were interested in Baker, but the Bucks got him. Steve,
did you ever hear?
You got to hit your doubles.
You ever hear one of those, Ira?
So, you know, when the smoke clears in free agency, if Light's added four decent players that are upgrades, then I don't think anybody should look back and worry about the guy that got away. But they got to be active. They got the money to be active. They got the needs to be active. I think when we're talking by the end of next week, there's going to be several new Bucks on the roster already.
You think so?
I think so. And one of them could be Grimes. You know?
Well, that wouldn't be new, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's significant. Mm-hmm. That would be significant in itself. So I think it's different than last year where they were coming off 9-7. Hey, we got to stretch the field. That's the one. Well, now you got to protect Winston. Now you got to have a better running game. Now you got to have a pass rush.
Better running game.
And now you got to cover. I mean, 5-11 exposes you.
They had no running game last year. Lee. Like I told someone at the combine, they got a good laugh out of this. It was Jared Bell. I told Jared Bell this of USA Today. I said, the Bucs were so one-dimensional last year. They were one-dimensional before the national anthem was finished.
You should have been asking Jared Bell why he's not talking up John Lynch a little bit in that room. Get him on board over there, DeKemper. That was a missed opportunity by you, Lee. By the way, you said you ran into John Lynch, and you had a little conversation.
I had a little chat. You know, I told him how, you know, you take it personally that he's not in Canton, that you're broken up by it. And he's like, oh, I know he takes it personally, but he shouldn't. He was very warm and generous, made sure that I gave you his regards. Florio gives his regards as well. There are quite a few.
Florio can't put me on the heat lamp over Terrell Owens anymore either. That ship has sailed.
Do yourself a favor with Florio. When he wants you on the air, go on the air.
What do you think of my – just get some upgrades, Lee. Just
they
hit
have
some doubles.
To. Gosh darn, they have to. I mean, first off, there's not going to be, with the possible exception of Julius Peppers, educated guess, there's not going to be any kind of decent defensive end that's going to be out there. Unless you call Adrian Claiborne – decent defensive end. He's not. He had one freak game in his career, and that's it.
As we said a month ago, Lawrence is not going to be out there.
Nobody's out there.
He's not going to be out there.
Now, you can make an argument. Irving, by the way, I hope Steve liked that picture I used with the
you
Irving.
You know what Buck fans remember about that guy? I believe it's David Irving.
Yeah.
You know what they remember him?
He went nuts on Gossner Chair. Who was hurt, by the way.
Yeah. They remember that night.
Yeah, swinging saloon doors.
And maybe the Bucks win that game if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They were winning at the time. And in the fourth quarter, the Bucks were winning, and Irving went nuts.
He did.
But he's a good player. He's a good player now. He's a restricted free agent, if I recall correctly. You know, does Light bite the bullet? They're so desperate defensive end, they might have to. But I hope Steve remembers that photo I used with my David Irving story last week.
It doesn't ring a bell, but I'll go back and look.
Hey, Hooters calendar girl with a wet David Irving shirt.
I didn't scrutinize it, I guess. I should have.
You see potential home runs? Would you label some guys home runs?
I don't even know. What's a double? Let's hit a double in front of a bunch of fans. Are like, but they're booing you in their cars right now.
It's guys in the trenches that help you win, but they're not everyday names.
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd love to see Norwell here. As I said on the previous podcast, I get the distinct impression they're going to go after Nelson, this offensive lineman, this guard from Notre Dame. But if he's not there, obviously the draft is at the free agency. The Bucks are going to address guard. I'm convinced of it.
If they sign Norwell and draft Nelson, that's not a bad upgrade to this offensive line, Steven.
This is just crazy talk, Ira. Come
crazy
on.
Talk?
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the Bucks, Jason Light, is not going to set himself up. Because this is how GMs think, right? Okay, in his mind, all right, I got to pay Ali Marpet because he's my guy. And Donovan Smith's a top 10 left tackle. And Norwell's the highest paid guard in the league. And we just drafted Quentin Nelson. Nobody does that in the NFL, pay all that money at the guard. That's why Norwell's cutting loose from the Panthers, because they can't pay everybody on their line.
Donovan Smith's going to get paid top 10 left tackle money?
Yes, sir.
I would not be shocked whatsoever. The NFL
Buck,
people.
I can hear Buck fans screaming.
Buck fans don't work in the NFL. I've talked to some NFL people. They think Donovan Smith is, at worst, top 15 left tackle.
Now, his durability is off the charts, no question
about
it.
It's an important
fact.
But
he's very inconsistent, and even Light will tell you that.
No, he won't. He might tell you he's inconsistent within a certain range, like from awesome to good, but not. They like him. They believe he's a top guard.
Top tackle. What Steve told you, you can't put too much money in the offensive line. What did we talk about the previous podcast? You get good players first. You worry about the cap later. You can manage the cap a lot easier.
All of a sudden, Isbitz is talking about the Bucks running out of money over here.
No, I'm telling you, they're not going to do that. They will not do that on the O-line like that and spend that kind of money. They're not going to do it. No team does.
Don't be shocked if they draft Mr. Nelson.
Well,
don't be shocked.
I'm not shocked if they draft this Vita Vea guy out of Washington and go sign Dontari Poe and stuff it up there in the up the gut.
If you're how's that going to help your pass rush?
I'm just saying, if you're going to invest that much.
Well, they're rotten against the run, too, Ira.
If you're going to invest that much on the offensive line, Ira, you know what? Logic says do it on the defensive line because they're old and they're stink. At least the old line's decent.
Yeah, this great.
Why is it either or, Lee? They got money to address everything.
This great Will Golston is supposed to be God's gift to
the Russians. There's a Golston reference.
Well,
right
I mean,
there.
Come on. If this guy's supposed to be so damn good against the run, why the Bucs suck so bad against the run?
Well, Norwell.
I'm sorry.
Norwell makes me nervous. Undrafted guy. I don't care how well he's playing. It's just nervous.
I'm with you on that. I don't.
But I could see Gettleman up in New York where they're desperate for O-line, where they have nobody good on the O-line, really. Him signing Norwell, the guy that he signed as an undrafted free agent.
And drafting Nelson,
because he'll get him with the number two pick easily, and then they're in good shape.
Lee, what the heck does Jason Light do if Messers, and I use that word on purpose, Messers, Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson are all off the board within the first six picks, which is very possible. It's not a crazy scenario. Those three guys are gone. You're sitting at seven. Mm-hmm. What do you do? You draft Minka Fitzpatrick? What do you do?
Trade down to a quarterback-hungry team.
Ooh.
Because Michael, you know, everybody in the NFL loves this Michael. I think this guy's character from LSU is very good. I think he's very good. There's a lot of good running backs. You can get this Hercules guy, this defensive tackle, I love the name Hercules, from Washington. Washington State, I think. There's a lot of good players. Pat Kerwin is of the mind. The Bucs should draft Rokon Smith, a linebacker from Georgia. And I know Bucs fans listening is like, what are you talking about, linebacker? And Kerwin makes a compelling argument. I see where he's coming from. I'm open-minded. I don't disagree. I don't agree. But it's a compelling argument. He says, look, and in Kerwin's mind, the best defensive player outside of Chubb is Rokon Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. Kerwin is of the mind, your defense is horrible. You got a chance to get the best defensive player. You get him. You find a way to put him on the field, which is a Wade Phillips axiom.
Well,
you give
maybe,
me a good player, I'll find a way.
Maybe if you're going to switch to a 3-4.
Why not? If you got the talent, why not? It's a compelling argument. But me personally, I would trade down. I would trade down because the Bucs got a lot of holes.
It seems to me.
Wait a minute. The Bucs got a lot of holes. Jason Light just told everybody we're very, very close. Come on, which is it?
Both?
Well, there you go.
Well, fact is they were 3-7 in close games. But, you know, I pointed out last week. There were four road games that they weren't competitive on. Four out of eight. Come on now,
blown
Steve.
Out.
That's like the four-year-old kid trying to pee in the toilet and he gets a little on the side. You can't pee in the toilet yet.
What a beautiful analogy.
Come on. Close.
Let's talk about pass rushes for a second here. Free agency and draft.
Who's pass rush? Not the Bucs. They only have one.
Steve, the fact is, once you get past Chubb, there's a big drop down.
Major.
You know, a major drop down. You're talking about Davenport. These guys are projects.
Well, after Davenport's.
Talking about using a first-round pick on a defensive end. So the odds are Chubb's not going to be there. Steve, that tells you one thing. You better get a pass rusher. In free agency, some way, somehow, trade for one. You mentioned Cameron Wake in the past. Try to entice Peppers. These are not going to be easy things to do.
No.
They missed out on Quinn for whatever reason. Steve, they got to protect themselves, not to mention the old DeKemper line, which I'm sure he's going to bring up in about 30 seconds. You can't expect a rookie defensive end to have much of an impact, especially in a year where defensive end's a weak spot in the draft.
Yeah.
Lee, so where am I wrong on this? Chubb's not going to be there.
There's basically three guys lead the pack, and after those three guys, there's a major drop-off. It's Chubb, of course. It's Davenport, who Light likes because he talked about it on the podium. I like this guy's raw. He's got a skill set, but he's raw. And then there's this Harold Landry of Boston College. Now, I have never heard this before. I don't know if I'm getting used here. I don't know. But a guy I trust.
Is it a suit?
He works in personnel. I'll just
did
say
he have
that.
A tie on? Is he a suit or a tie guy?
I've never seen a guy in a suit.
All right.
But that doesn't mean I work in his office.
I just want to get this clarified.
A guy works. He works in personnel. I don't know if I'm being used. I trust him because he's given me solid information before. Has been dead on about players. But allegedly, with Harold Landry, this guy's questioning his work ethic. Doesn't know if he's really motivated. Th- thought he may have milked his injury at Boston College this past year. I've never heard that before. So I don't know. You know how scouts are. They're putting out smoke screens. So I don't know if that's a smoke screen or not. I do not know. But after Landry, Chubb, and Davenport, it falls off the map as far as talent available at defensive end.
So I would be shocked, and I use that word deliberately. I would be shocked if the Bucks are sitting at 7, Barkley, Chubb, Nelson off the board, and Jason Light turns in a card that says Davenport at number 7. I think that would be a tremendous gamble on Light's part with his job hanging in the balance in the 2018 season. That is one heck of a gamble. Now maybe you drop down to 18, maybe, and take Davenport.
There's not,
you cannot take him at 7.
You have to find somebody who's willing to drop down on a 10-minute time limit. It's not always there.
There's two teams behind the Bucks.
Well, he's suggesting some teams may want to move up and get a quarterback.
Yeah, there's two teams not too far down from the Bucks are openly talking quarterback. One is Buffalo. The other, believe it or not, is Miami. They're behind the Bucks. So there's potential there for trade down.
Well, how many quarterbacks are left, right? If those three guys are gone, then the other four spots go to quarterbacks.
Three spots.
We're seven.
They're at 7. So be, oh, yeah. There. Yeah, it has to be three quarterbacks, okay. And those three you're talking
right.
about, Ira.
So who's the fourth quarterback that somebody wants to come and get?
I think it was Adam Schefter that said that some team has Lamar Jackson as their top quarterback.
I don't know, Ira. Who knows? But free agency is here. And so you're talking about doubles and upgrades.
Talking about doubles.
You're off the sexy bandwagon. But you would sign Norwell. And
it's not a sexy free agent class.
And you would still draft Nelson if he's there. So
I'm lukewarm on the Norwell. I'm not going all in on Norwell.
I got you. But you know what? Nelson was on Sirius Radio and made it very, very clear that he's just as comfortable playing right guard as left guard. And
hey, I'm
so
the guy that suggested maybe they take a flyer on Jensen as a center. But Mr. DeKemper tells me his latest information is the Bucks are of no mind of even considering moving Marpet back to right guard. Am I correct?
Yeah, because basically they consider that a wasted time. They think Marpet was just turning the corner when he got hurt. And they're like, the guy just turned the corner. Why do we want to throw in the towel
That's
now?
A long corner, Steve. That's a long corner. We saw some problems with snaps. We saw some problems with
Which is
timing.
Granted, early on. That was early on.
All right. Well, I just think there are some centers out there that can be plugged in immediately and help this team. And we know Marpet can help immediately at right guard. And my clock's ticking on Mr. Sweezy. I'm not in a hurry to return Sweezy at right guard. Are you, Lee?
Well, the fact that Light was
Never
candid.
Mind, left guard. I'm talking about right guard.
The fact that Light was very candid in saying Sweezy has not been cleared for football practices, that's like, whoa. Given his injury history of late, again, that's why I said it in a previous podcast, I would not do it, but I get the distinct impression if Nelson's there, they're pulling the trigger on him. Given what I heard about Sweezy, given what I heard about Pamphill, and what I saw from body language from Bucks types about Pamphill, they're going to upgrade guard some way, somewhere, somehow. And again, I would not do it, but if you put a gun to my head, if I had to put $300 on the table, I would bet it's Nelson if he's available.
Steve, all the intrigue, you've been reading it, almost all the intrigue about the free agent crop revolves around the quarterback position. Well, what's going on with Foles, Bridgewater?
Cousins.
Cousins, of course. And the Bucks are not involved. They're just not involved in that kind of stuff. That's where all the sexy talk's going on.
All right, Ira, speaking of sexy talk.
And thank God the Bucks aren't involved. I think that's a big... That's a big advantage.
I ran sexy
for the
talk.
Bucks. Everybody, and even in the draft, everybody's talking about three or four quarterbacks, and the Bucks are not involved in that. That's a positive.
Well, I'll give you another positive. When is the last time you ever thought you'd hear these following words? The Bucks don't need a wide receiver.
Nice, and they don't.
So, Ira, you're frustrating fans. I feel bad for the people out there, Ira, because. The Bucks have all.
You don't have a heart, Steve. You don't feel bad for these people. What are you talking about?
The Bucks have massive salary cap room, and you're talking about doubles.
Go get four or five good players.
Why can't we get into a big bidding war for some of the beasts on the market?
The beasts are at quarterback. You want Kirk Cousins? What are you talking about?
The beasts are who's the best player that year.
You want Norwell? You just tell me how much money's made. You want to go in a bidding war for Norwell?
What about a defensive tackle? What about Tremaine Johnson?
I just told you, Don Terry Poe, I'm not interested.
Do you throw more money at Tremaine Johnson than anybody else would even think of and bring him in here?
If you think Tremaine Johnson's as good as advertised, you got to go get him. You got to go get him.
There's several decent corners.
But you just said they're going to hit doubles.
That's a double. It's a double.
All right.
This ain't,
so now we got clarification.
Darryl or Darrell Revis, however you want to say it. Of course, I called him Darryl for about the first 6 months. This is not Darryl Revis in his prime.
So I wasn't the only one.
You're not the only one.
But I'm going to catch his elf.
Go get Tremaine Johnson. Go get a defensive tackle. Not Poe, but there's other guys out there. Go get Cameron Wake. Go get a running back. Are there some running backs out there that are upgrades that can work with Peyton Barber? Sure there are. Doubles.
All right, doubles for
Forget about Le'Veon Bell. Come on, it's too late.
All right, Ira. Of course, as we heard to open the podcast, we appreciate our friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. All those great new March offers. Check out the websites, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Lee mentioned we don't need a wide receiver. I know you had something on your mind about DeSean Jackson. Well, what do you got here?
Well, this is about the third time I've heard this from Dirk Cutter. He said it again last week. He said it on the day after the season ended. In his wrap-up press conference, Lee, tell me where I'm making too much out of this. But every time the subject of DeSean Jackson's meager production comes up in front of Dirk Cutter immediately exonerates DeSean Jackson.
Yeah,
he's never said anything about DeSean Jackson needs to do this and he needs to do that. Instead, the first thing he says is it wasn't DeSean's fault. Am I wrong, Lee?
No, so, I think there's a variety of reasons why.
And he talks about a variety of reasons. Sometimes we didn't have enough time. Sometimes we didn't call his play enough. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me say right off the bat, you're right, Dirk. You didn't throw deep to him enough. Now, some Buck fans think they threw too much to him.
Me included.
I'll say it again. I'm taking four or five shots downfield. I'm doing it. Now, the problem is Jameis isn't getting the ball close enough to Jackson to get that pass interference
Which
play.
Is why you don't waste a play.
Well, Can't you work on Winston's timing?
How about this? Why don't you throw shorter passes to DeSean Jackson
in space and let his wheels take over? Hold on, Kemper. Hold on. I'm about to bring this podcast to its knees. Mr. Isbitz, I suggest that if you come to the conclusion that Jameis Winston can't throw accurate deep balls to DeSean Jackson, I'm not giving Winston $130 million in a couple of years because I want some kind of a speedster on my roster. And if I don't have a quarterback who can get him the deep, I got the wrong quarterback. What's going on here?
Have you heard?
You can't hit DeSean Jackson when he's open? That's a big problem.
But Ira, he can hit Chris Godwin deep.
Well, I don't understand that. I just don't understand.
Well, here's a different layer. If you think that you can't, as an organization, get the most, blame whoever you want. If you don't think you can get the most out of DeSean Jackson, then trade him. The draft is coming up, right?
That'd be a hell of an admission saying that Jameis Winston's not going to have any chemistry.
Depends
with this
what
guy.
You get.
It's a hell of an admission.
No, it depends what you get.
If they get a defensive end that has 10 sacks, damn right you pull the trigger.
You get rid of Jackson, you still got a lack of speed on the outside.
Are you saying Chris Godwin's slow?
He's not a burner.
Who is a burner like DeSean Jackson?
Well, so why get rid of him? Try to get some time and going between Winston and Jackson.
So you're of the mind.
What am I missing here, gentlemen?
I want to be clear about this. So you're of the mind, if a play isn't working, you keep beating your head against the wall until it works. Meanwhile, you're down two touchdowns.
The play is working. According to Cutter, the guy's wide open. He's open all the time.
Where are the results that they're working?
That's on Winston.
Well, my point is, Ira, let's say Doug Martin, you pick a running back's name.
When you sign Jackson, you certainly didn't think there was going to be a problem with Winston getting him the ball deep. You wouldn't have signed him.
Offensive line. Let's say you're running.
Why are you giving Winston a pass over here at the camera?
I'm not giving anybody a pass. I'm saying I think it's crazy talk if a play isn't working to keep going back to that well time and again when it's not working.
Make it work.
How do you make it work? You make it work in practice. It ain't working in the game. If you're a running game team, let's say this Fournette in Jacksonville. I'm speaking hypothetically here. Let's say they're playing the Patriots, Steelers, whomever. And Fournette can't run the ball for whatever reason. Do you keep giving him the ball in the fourth quarter when it's not working? Hell no, you don't. You don't keep going to the well time and again if it's not working.
Isbitz, if my coach is suggesting that I'm wide open all the time deep, I'm one of the premier deep threats in football, and yet I'm not, you know, the longest pass I got was 41 yards, and I'm not sure that ball wasn't from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think it was a slant, not a deep ball. There's a problem at the quarterback position. What's going on over here? So are you telling me you can't fix this thing?
So, Ira, are you suggesting the Bucs should get rid of Winston because for whatever reason he can't connect with DeSean Jackson? He does everything else right, but because he can't hit a deep ball to Jackson, they should dump Winston. Is that what you're saying?
Winston's on
trial. Is that what you're saying?
Winston's on the spot. He's got one more year to connect with DeSean Jackson.
How's his connection with Evans? How's his connection with Godwin? How's his connection with Brate?
I don't know how his connection with Evans
is. It's damn good. Otherwise, Evans wouldn't have the... So because he can't hit with DeSean Jackson, the Bucs should move on from Winston.
Hold on, DeKemper.
That's basically what you're saying.
Take another sip of that Panera coffee here. I'm about to put
That's
you in crazy.
Your place. Come on now.
Isbitz, am I wrong? Or did Mike Evans score like 3 touchdowns last year? Or 4? That's ridiculous. 3 or 4 touchdowns for Mike Evans? There's problems here with connections.
Did Evans have 1,000 yards last year? How did he get those 1,000 yards?
Everybody gets 1,000 yards. Everybody gets 1,000 yards.
So Lavonnie David was throwing passes to him.
Never mind that. Winston,
what did Brate do when he was healthy?
DeSean Jackson's open. Get him the football or get it close enough to get that PI call, which everybody else gets. And if Cutter's telling me that Jackson's open all the time, there's a problem on the center. Fix it.
Now,
fix it, Isbitz.
I'll tell you one reason why Cutter is I think this is one reason, and it goes deeper than just face value. While he's loath to blame DeSean Jackson, I'm of the mind it takes two to tangle. He's dealing with Eagles. He probably knows Jameis doesn't give a damn if Cutter rips him in public or not. DeSean Jackson, different story. He's managing egos here. He's massaging egos. So I think that's partially one reason why Cutter is loath to criticize DeSean. I think so. I don't know that. No one's told me that. That's just me reading tea leaves. And Jameis, obviously, he could take criticism. He doesn't care. Didn't bother
Steve,
him.
By implication, he's also saying Jameis Winston isn't getting him the ball.
And he's right.
Wide open. That's a problem.
And he's right.
I agree with Lee wholeheartedly.
Of course.
I agree. I didn't even get the sentence out.
That's right. I don't stop you right in your tracks.
Usually he's going after me.
On the fact that Cutter is very careful not to insult DeSean Jackson. There's a lot of diva stuff going on there.
Yes.
This has been a consistent thing with Cutter on, DeSean's been amazed. Everything's a roses when it comes to DeSean Jackson. I'm not saying he was a bad guy, dropping balls or this or problems, but it's always, everything's always a perfect, beautiful glaze on the donut.
You got to defend your quarterback, your young quarterback.
Well, I'm just saying that's kind of the way things are going. When Lee said before, he said, going to the well. We'll keep going to the well when it doesn't work. That's the philosophy of the Bucs defense. I mean, come on. Why are they going to change that on offense? That's what they do on defense. Maybe that's going to move to the offensive side.
Where are you on this debate between me and the guy? I can guess already.
What's the debate?
Did they throw enough deep balls to DeSean Jackson? He thinks they threw too many. I think they didn't throw enough.
Well,
they threw too many because they weren't working.
Frankly, it's a goofy question because they weren't connecting deep. So they kept doing it, which is on the face value is stupid. But I agree with everything you've said all year long, is that throw more deep, do it smarter, and get more penalties out of it. And they didn't do that.
That's because the passes aren't accurate enough. Can't draw the flag.
But I'm going to give you another side of that. Why don't they throw deeper more often to Mike Evans? This guy was drafted as the 50-50 ball expert. DeSean Jackson was supposed to open up things for Mike Evans. So why aren't we seeing more of those 50-yard bombs to Evans? Let him go up and get it. If he doesn't catch it, maybe he gets a penalty. So the whole deep thing was messed up for both guys. I don't put it all on Jackson. But you know what, Dirk? They signed Jackson last year. Last year's mantra was explosive plays, and it didn't work. So to me, if you don't know how to use the guy, if you sort of, and you're questioning maybe Jameis a little, and you're questioning this and that, then trade him.
Is it a lot of it is Winston's injury, which might have happened in week 2?
I think in Minnesota, when I was at the Minnesota game, I was there covering for obviously JoeBucksFan.com. Where I was sitting in the press box was perfectly in line at my viewpoint. I mean, it was like me, Jameis, and DeSean Jackson, a straight line. And, Jackson broke open. That ball didn't get there. And I asked Cutter about this. We were talking about Jameis's injury, and I specifically brought up some speculate his injury first happened at Minnesota in game 2. Cutter did not correct me.
We've had some credible people do more than suggest that Winston got hurt in Minnesota in week 2. Not in week 4, week 2.
Yeah, when I mentioned that to Cutter, he did not correct me. He didn't say no.
Excuse me, week five at Arizona. Not in the fifth game, in the second game. That makes a difference. Steve, if he got hurt in the second game, you know, maybe we're not giving enough slack to Winston.
Now, how about this? I know I've drive Steve nuts, what you just said. Steve pretty much discounts the injured shoulder. What about this? J.P. Peterson is probably the most vocal about this, and he's not alone. And I'm not saying he's wrong.
The very ambitious host of 620.
Yeah. He is of the mind that DeSean Jackson will never fight for a ball. That you gotta be perfect with him. Now there's been a couple plays where if he would have adjusted just a little bit, a step or two, he'd have a catch, and he didn't do that. And then JP's really big on that. He says Jackson won't fight for a ball, whereas Evans will, Godwin will, Brate will, and you see a better completion percentage with those guys that you don't with Jackson. How much credibility do you put in that?
Look, Jackson has a reputation earned, in my opinion, over 9 years of getting open deep and burning defenses deep. That's why the Bucs wanted him. They want more deep plays. They targeted DeSean Jackson.
Look, it's a mess. And I'm going to go back to this here. I pulled it up just because I've looked at this before. Jameis comes back healthy, and they didn't throw deep to Jackson.
When he was healthy.
And he was back for a couple games. Jameis is back. They didn't go deep to Jackson. They went short to Jackson in Atlanta with Fitzpatrick, and it didn't materialize. His busiest game of the year was in Atlanta, Fitzpatrick, right after Thanksgiving, and they threw him 11 balls. He caught 8 for 60 yards, all short stuff.
That's Adam Humphries.
Short stuff. Yeah, that's not even Adam Humphries. Humphries averages more than 7.5
Who
yards
has better
a catch.
And did they throw deep to Evans in those last four games when Winston was healthy?
I don't know. I don't have that
balls?
In front of me. My point is that when Winston was healthy and Jackson was healthy, which was only two games together, because Jackson, remember, ended on IR, ended the season. He missed the last couple of games. There was nothing there in those last two games. Jameis in Green Bay, healthy DeSean Jackson, 24 yards for DeSean Jackson.
About Buffalo when Winston had a good day.
Jameis, Detroit, throws 7 balls to Jackson for 41 yards. 7 attempts, 4 receptions, 41 yards.
Buffalo,
73 yards for Jackson on 5 balls. So that's more of his kind of day. His one big game was against the Patriots. He had it. That was his breakout game.
Lee, bottom line. Cutter said at the end of the 2016 season, mm-hmm. priority one, stretch the field, more explosive plays. Didn't happen.
Sage, free agency's here. You got a name? You want to give the fans a name that you think you like, or you don't know? You don't know.
I got a name I don't want to give the fans, Dontari Poe. Forget about Dontari Poe.
All right. No Poe. Down on Poe. Let's see.
Lee, some years free agency fits in with your needs, like a hand in glove.
Like last year.
Calais Campbell.
Well, like Calais Campbell. Uh-huh. Like Calais Campbell. That doesn't seem to be the case this year. Lee,
well,
and it's
not
the Bucs' fault. It's just not.
Well, yeah, it is, because they painted themselves in this corner. But we were talking about defensive ends. I mean, and again, I'm repetitive about this. I don't care. It's not just the Jason Light issue. It's been going on since Bruce Allen was around. Bruce Almighty, starting with Gaines Adams. They have yet in over a decade to find someone remotely close to replacing Simeon Rice. And I haven't done the research, but I'm wanting to find out if there's any other team that has not had double-digit sacks in the last decade. I mean, that's just beyond embarrassing. That's incompetence. It's what it is.
Now, Ira, you're way off. Of course, you're painting it like it's bad luck that it's a bad fit for the Bucs in free agency this year. That's what you're saying. That's ridiculous. These GMs, they're planning. They have charts going of, okay, how does the free agency class look in quarterback in 2020? Yeah. That'll affect how I do this and that. They know this stuff all out there. They knew that this wasn't a good defensive end class this year. There were no surprises that I'm aware of, yet here we are. We're bare.
They didn't know Golston was going to go backwards. They didn't know going to get anything out of Spence.
Right.
They didn't know Ayers was going to have one or two sacks.
What's the most sacks Golston's ever had in a year? 4?
I think 3.5, something
My
like
God,
that.
The next Deion or Deacon but Jones.
You said he dropped off as a run stuffer.
I don't see where Will Golston is a special player in any way, shape, or form. I don't. He's a nice player.
They didn't want to lose him.
Yeah, and look, he's not exactly out there for all the passing situations anyway, that's why you're seeing guys like Will Clark and Ryan Russell and others.
They could have replaced Golston a year ago. They chose not to.
They paid him $7 million a year.
Yeah, they expected him to grow. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't see where this guy is this special player. I don't. He obviously can't rush the passer. Again, Ira, you are connected in the NFL much more than I am. Have you ever heard any of your brethren in the print media say, you know, that's Golson, he's something special against the run?
By the way, the one guy that we don't mention, he's not the answer to their prayers, but I bring him back. Besides Grimes, I find a place for Clinton McDonald. I find a place,
yeah,
but I'm still getting a defensive tackle.
Thank you, yes.
I'm getting a young one.
Yes,
but
yes.
I'm still bringing Clinton McDonald back.
I agree. He produced last year. Production.
What's the market for Clinton McDonald in the NFL, Ira?
All it takes is one team.
Well, I see where Steve's going. Well, that just means you can get him at a cheaper rate.
Hopefully.
It's production. The guy produced last year.
For his sake. He carries a certain, here's your word, gravitas. Gravitas.
All right.
The Kepper can't even pronounce it.
All right, then I'm going to ask you
that. No, but I can spell it.
I'm going to ask you the naughty question then.
A naughty question?
Now, I understand that McDonald was hurt for about four games last year. Why was he playing behind Swaggy Baker?
You know the answer to that.
Then what kind of coaching staff we have?
Investiture.
Well, there's a reason why Jay Hayes is unemployed.
There's your investiture, Ira. That was your column the other day.
The three of us knew. As far back as OTAs, gentlemen, Baker was going to start.
Of course.
Baker was going to start.
Of course.
Come on. And you know who knew that? Clinton McDonald.
Everybody knew that.
Because I talked to him about it.
He shrugged
the shoulder. What am I going to do?
You don't make that kind of investment for the guy to ride the pine.
Now, I'm not saying, starting McDonald was all of a sudden they're going to go 8-8. I'm not saying that. But McDonald was a better player.
But I can understand where Steve's coming from. Let's have some higher standards here.
Exactly. Old guy. If this was a good team, we'd be like, hey, older guy gave us some nice service. Move on. Which is what Seattle did.
Especially if you had some young defensive tackles that you were ready to
move
in.
That's my point about Golston, too. I mean, higher standards.
Yeah.
Production.
Since we're talking free agency, Robert Ayers, he is due $6 million this season. Bucks owe him $1 million for a roster bonus next week, March 18th, actually. Is he on this team this year?
Lee, he's a guy I got to say thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. We wish you the best. I don't see this raging debate about Ayers. Production.
He got production. More than Golston. I would keep Ayers. I really would. You look at Ayers' career. He did, outside of sacks, he did pretty well. He got some quarterback pressure. I'm not saying he's Michael Strahan. He did okay.
I'd rather have a young guy that you can develop. And that's the key. How about developing him? Develop.
Well, that's the X
maybe
factor.
Maybe Buckner can help in
that's
that
probably,
regard.
Probably the biggest X factor of free agency is how much they believe in Brenson Buckner to, one, revive the current guys and deal with and improve the two guys that they bring in. And Cutter talked about that at the Combine, that Buckner seems to have a way of reviving guys' careers.
I'm high on Buckner. I think he's going to get the job done.
I'm hopeful.
Give him something to work with, Lee.
I'm really scared the Bucks are thinking that Buckner possesses this magic wand, and all of a sudden he'll get four sacks out of Golston.
Well,
and I mean,
I don't think there's any illusions that we're status quo defensive line
because
we got Buckner. They're not thinking that.
Overhaul. Here's what I'm scared of. They're thinking. I'm almost to the point. I'm not there yet. I'm almost to the point where they're not. And I think, Steve, you might have said it on your Monday Morning Cup of Joe.
Yeah, Monday Morning Joe.
I don't know if the Bucks want to upgrade. Evidence doesn't suggest it.
Say that again now?
I don't know if the Bucks want to upgrade. I'm starting to come to the belief that they think, you know, Quinn, 8.5 sacks. The Bucks believe Noah Spence will stay healthy for six games. They could squeeze five sacks out of him.
How did that philosophy work out last
year? I understand, but if I can finish. I think they are the mind that Noah Spence could play six games. Maybe they get five sacks out of him. That Buckner could squeeze three sacks out of Golston. There's your eight sacks that you would have got with Quinn. I'm one step away from believing that.
That is a recipe for disaster.
Thank you.
It's a recipe for Light and Cutter looking for a job. Next January 7th. Come on. You can't believe that. How about slapping the Kepper around a little bit?
Last year, like
you do me.
Last year.
Slap around.
Last year, the Bucks banked on two hurt players. Jack Smith, who never recovered from the injury, and expected Noah Spence to come back from shoulder surgery to be healthy. Gone. Second game.
Where the heck is Jacquees Smith right now? Anybody got him?
No, nobody's got him.
Nobody's got him.
He's working at Whole Foods.
Did he back it out last year?
He's working at Whole Foods.
He'll be in training camp with somebody. Training camp with somebody. All right, now, Ira, Lee, you're going to be out of town for the next taping, right? Monday?
Yeah, I don't get back till early Tuesday morning. Okay. Like 2 o'clock in the morning.
So, Sage, we will be taping next podcast on Monday. Now, that starts the tampering period for free agents. So that's the day where the rumors start popping of the who the Bucks are looking at, or maybe La Canfora will come out and tell us who the Bucks are signing when Wednesday's bell rings.
We're going to have some updated information.
It's going to be flying crazy on Monday, and we'll try to get the podcast up super early Tuesday morning so we're not behind the rumor mill. And two very quick ones. Lee talked to somebody in Indianapolis, a guy connected in the league, and who told him, hey, look, if the NFL wanted the Jameis Winston investigation wrapped up, it would have happened already. The motivation, for whatever reason, is not there.
Also used as an example the Marty Herney investigation.
Well,
they wanted that done, and it got done.
Right.
Well, I know Lee's source, and it's a credible source, and I say shame on the NFL. Shame on the NFL. What is going on with this Winston investigation?
I just want to know why they're not motivated.
You know, and then you got Cutter and Light saying, we know nothing. We know absolutely nothing. How could that be? This has to be a top priority. You got to know what's going on.
I can't remember who asked him. It might have been Rick Stroud.
Facing a 4 or 6 game suspension potentially. What is this, nothing?
In a sidebar. And people who know me know I like Jason Light a lot. And I think he's really, really good at the draft. And he'll admit he had some slip-ups in free agency. I'm a big Jason Light guy. And I think that's one reason why I want urgency this year, because I want Buck. This is the best guy they've had for the draft in years. I want him to stick around. At any rate, he was asked, has Jameis been interviewed yet? And he says, I don't know. And come on.
What is this cone of silence over here, Steven? How could you not know what's going on in this investigation? How could you not talk to Winston about what's going on?
Well, it's kind of like Light saying, all right, well, if you believe that, you think I'm an idiot. If you don't believe it, then you think I'm a liar. And it's just so stupid. It's a con.
Lee, is it crazy to suggest some, and I'm not saying 40,000 people, some Buck fans are withholding their decision about whether to invest their money in this team until they know the results of this Winston investigation? Fair to suggest there's some fans out there?
700.
That's 700 season tickets,
I
potentially.
Know, but the Bucks don't draw, so that's why I'm saying 700.
So by that, I mean it's an issue for ownership. It's a financial issue, too.
It's a big issue on a lot of levels, just because why would you not? It's the face of the franchise.
I'll just say that
face
of
the franchise.
If Jameis has been interviewed, I will lay money on the table. The director of Bucks Security knows this. We both know who that is. And if he knows it, how could Light not know it? Come on.
I'll relay a conversation I had. I went to the Lightning game last week against Toronto. It was my first Lightning game of the year. And
really?
I'm in the media dining room. And of course.
Of course.
No beet salad. No beet salad. And absolutely no Riesling. Absolutely.
Bananas Foster?
No, absolutely not. Anyway, we were talking about the Winston investigation. And there were a couple of people from the local media, radio side, local media. And I said that if the evidence is overwhelming when this investigation finally comes to a conclusion, and who knows, they could drag this out to August, who knows, or even the season.
Yeah.
But I said, and I've said it on this podcast, and I'm not backing off it. If the evidence is overwhelming that Winston groped this Uber driver, that I'm moving on, I'm getting a new quarterback. And this person said, that is absurd. That is ridiculous.
I bet I know
that
who
is
said that.
Crazy.
Oh, was it the radio guy?
The radio guy.
Oh, I know exactly who that is.
Never mind that. Never mind that. We've had enough of your speculation. I was dressed down saying that is absurd. That's juvenile. This is your franchise quarterback. And I suggested if his judgment with his baggage is that bad that he did in fact do this, I can't trust him. I can't trust him moving on.
You guys have talked about this a lot.
I can't trust him.
You guys have talked about this a lot in previous podcasts that I was not involved in, but I'll just my quick 2 cents in. What disturbs me as much, if not more than anything, he didn't tell the Bucks or his teammates this. Mr. Leader.
Another layer.
Mr. Ultimate Leader decided not to tell his teammates, not to tell the administration, tell nobody, like a 5-year-old kid who got busted picking up a Snickers bar at 7-Eleven. Come on.
Where are we wrong on this, Steve?
It was a funny analogy. I enjoyed that one.
They're going to have to soon make a big decision about Winston.
It's such a simple thing. If the guy, and this is the if, big if.
It's a big if.
If the NFL and Jameis can't show and the NFL slaps him with that he's guilty, the NFL court of law, and he's labeled, and people, the perception is he's NFL suspends him because he's a crotch grabber of a female driver. So you've got an average NFC quarterback who grabs crotches and has bad judgment with baggage. Why do you want that as the face of your franchise? You don't. It's sad. It's sad what could have been if that's the case, but you move on.
And that, it's not easy I agree to with move you. On. It's I agree. Not easy. It's
no,
not
it easy. Is easy. When you're the owners and you're thinking long-term, big picture, not instant gratification.
We've had 3 years of saying it's all about Winston. It's all about Winston. It's tough to back off from that, but I think you have to. If it's a big if, I don't think we're going to come to the conclusion that it's overwhelming that he did.
Yeah, I sort of want to give Jameis the benefit of the doubt. Like Darby told me, he's a target. There's all kinds of question marks about this issue.
Yes.
I'm going to give Jameis the benefit of the doubt. I'm still a big Jameis fan. I'm still a big Jameis defender and will continue to be. But when he needs to be called out, I'll call him out, and I have in the past. I want to be objective, but I'm not really nowhere close to throwing Jameis over the bus.
And, Steve, we have to be fair and mention that even if he gets suspended, that doesn't meet the standard necessarily of what I said of overwhelming evidence that he's guilty. It doesn't necessarily mean that because Goodell's got broad powers.
Yeah, he's...
in the case of Brady, no overwhelming evidence, although he didn't, he didn't comply with the investigation. He didn't comply.
Sure, but Ira, you gave... nobody's getting confused here. You gave a hypothetical. And the hypothetical is if he's guilty and there's evidence...
Hopefully the league explains their decision.
Right, well, of course they will. Of course they will. We might not agree with it. All right, Ira, look, the hypothetical was if Jameis did this, found guilty, yeah, the NFL gives its 2 cents on why. They'll explain if that's the case.
And if we believe it.
And I just think organizationally you got to move on. Because it's not like he's lighting up the league. You can make a case he's anywhere from the 8th best to the 10th best starter in the conference.
But he's young. But he's
sure,
young.
But many of those guys are young too. It's an organizational thing. So you don't want that hanging over your head, and then you lose this season, right? If they're not going to make the playoffs, as Jameis is out 6 games.
My big point is, let's get a decision. Let's wrap this up. Come on now.
Use your muscle, Sage.
I'm going to do what I can.
Yeah, you're going to crack some heads. Come on, you and Goodell, you had that special day together.
I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks. Maybe I can get a couple of drinks in him and pry some answers away from him.
All right, Ira, you were in New York recently. You mentioned on the last podcast you had some sort of story you wanted to tell.
Well, we're checking into this hotel, Midtown, same hotel we've been going to for a few years. Great location, great hotel. Lexington Hotel, 49th and Lex. Good stuff. And, good jumping off point, for Rock Center, Theater District. Perfect spot. And so we're checking in. Another couple comes into the lobby, and guy's looking at me, middle-aged couple. Guy staring at me, first I thought it was Brenson Buckner. Do I know you? This is what his opening line is. I said, I don't know. Where are you from? Yeah, we just came in from Tampa. Oh, so did we. How do you know? He goes, you on TV? You on a website? You on a podcast? I go, sometimes. I know you. You do the Bucks. You do the Bucks. You're Ira Kaufman. I said Kaufman. I corrected him right away, Steve. And he goes, good job, good website, Joe Bucks fan. Read it all the time. Steve, I'm 1,000 miles away from home. The guy's recognizing Joe Bucks fan. Your sway knows no boundaries.
Was your wife with you at that time?
She was right there.
She witnessed
this whole thing.
Was she impressed?
No, because he said Kaufman. But we had a nice chat, and the guy's down on the Bucks. He's a little down on him. Oh, man, 5-11, what's going on here? Same coaching staff. Same players. I said, you're not going to recognize this team. They're going to have 6-7 new starters next year. He liked to hear that. He's hot. He's not down on Winston, but we both agreed. Let's get this investigation over, Steve, so we can put that behind us. I know that's what the Bucks want. But
are you sure?
I think so. My point is, this growing website, growing podcast, Steven, it's on the up and up. Let's keep it going, baby.
All right, get out of here, Ira. That was a nice story. I'll give that a B-.
A little positive.
It was a double. A double.